chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to really just read one verse there and make some comments and then go back and we'll look at some other parts of the chapter. I'm going to talk to you about a subject that I was assigned to preach at the conference. You know, when you prepare a message, you never want to just use it on one crowd. So, at any rate, the conference, the theme of the conference was some of the B words that Paul used. Behold, beware, and beloved. Behold, beseech, and beloved. And, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, one of those words is used there, and it is beseech. And he says there in 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, we take that verse all the time, and we simply use it to try to demonstrate the importance of following Paul, as well we should. Also over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul says over there, be ye followers of me, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So I want to talk to you this morning about following Paul, but I want us to look at some things back in chapter 4 and even the chapter before that, that fall into the context that precede this admonition to be followers of Paul. And these things are very important because they outline really the reason that Paul made that statement to the church at Corinth. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, notice first of all there in verse 15, he said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, Paul is making it very clear to these people and to those that would read the epistle later. God speaking through Paul says, you might have many instructors in Christ, but I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was in effect the spiritual father of those at Corinth. Why? Because Paul was the one that had delivered unto them the gospel of their salvation. If you look over in chapter 15, hold there in chapter 4, and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The account of Paul going to Corinth is in Acts chapter 18. When Paul went there, it is obvious from what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that he declared unto them the gospel of Christ, the good news that Christ had died for their sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. So when he writes to them in chapter 4, he precedes this statement about being ye followers of me with several things in relation to the ministry. Now, sometimes it's a little confusing, the fact that Paul made this statement, be ye followers of me, when back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he warns them about following after men. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, Paul's desire was not for them to worship him or to put too much emphasis upon the man, but he did desire that they followed him in the doctrine that he proclaimed. Paul told Timothy, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, those things commit to faithful men that might be able to teach others also. So with the Apostle Paul, it was always about the doctrine. Now, what Paul is desiring that they follow him in is really a broad spectrum, but there's some specific things there in chapter 4. Look there in verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, it is apparent that the Corinthians apparently were not giving Paul his just due in relation to being a minister of Christ. As a matter of fact, when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you find that there were those who were even questioning Paul's apostleship and his authority, much as people do today. So when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, this carnal bunch of people, he says there in chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, why would Paul write that if they were already doing that? So apparently there were those at Corinth who were not giving Paul his just due as far as being the minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So in this chapter, Paul begins to defend and to vindicate his apostleship. He said in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. In other words, no doubt, they were judging Paul. They were saying, listen, Paul, we doubt that you're even an authentic apostle. Are of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall have every man have praise of God. Now notice, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself, and to Apollos for your sake. In other words, Paul saying, what I am writing here, I am writing by revelation. This is not my opinion. That you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, they were probably glorying and boasting in that which they had without acknowledging the source of that truth. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that you also might reign, that we also might reign with you. Now, when you get into verses 8, 9, and 10, I believe that you begin to see a little bit of sarcasm. Because Paul is writing to a carnal bunch. Here Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, is writing to a bunch of people that he calls time and again carnal, who he rebukes over and over again. And so he says there in verse 8, you are full, you are rich, you've reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You are honorable, but we're despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, Yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You see, when you read all of that together, folks, it really ought to give you a picture of what the Apostle Paul was up against and what his desire was for those at Corinth. You know, I found it interesting as I was doing this study. Here's the Apostle Paul making this plea, this beseeching. Be ye followers of me. Now, you know, you see people on TV and people desire for to develop a following. Well, what I found interesting with the Apostle Paul is when he writes this letter and says, be ye followers of me, what I found interesting is what came before that. For example, in verse 10, he says, we're fools, we're weak, and we're despised. Be ye followers of me. In verse 11, he says, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, we're buffeted, we're homeless, that is, we have no certain dwelling place. Be ye followers of me. In verse 12, he says, we're reviled and we're persecuted. In verse 13, he says, we're defamed. We're as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things. Now, that doesn't sound like a resume of somebody you'd want to be following, does it? I mean, really, when you look at that, you would think if there's anybody I want to stay away from, it's this man here. Because if I follow him, I may end up being counted as a fool, as weak, as despised, as hungry, thirsty, naked, buffeted, that is, beat upon, homeless, reviled, persecuted, defamed, filth, offscouring. How appealing is that? But you see, what the Apostle Paul is doing is very plainly and very simply showing these people that he's not promising them any kind of rose garden. He's not promising them any kind of easy path. What he's desiring for them, what he's beseeching them to do, is to account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He's not asking for fame and fortune. He's not asking for them to evaluate or to somehow escalate him above others in the human realm. What he is doing is simply saying, listen, we are ministers of God. Let us man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Why? Because it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, and we have been faithful. We have been faithful to preach the word and to make it known. You see, being followed or a follower of Paul doesn't just mean to follow him in the doctrine. We're going to talk about that later in the message. But to follow the Apostle Paul in his attitude of humility and his attitude of service, he says over and over again, Paul, the servant of God. Following Paul in the things like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the practical application of the doctrine that the Apostle Paul preached and taught. Now, I want you to look, if you will, in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. You know, it does not surprise me one bit that the Apostle Paul is today the apostle that is most despised by most of religion. I read some of these things a few weeks back. I don't think I ever did it here in the morning, the 11 o'clock hour. But during the Sunday school hour, we were talking about some things, and I read some information that was sent to me by somebody else. And these are statements by famous people about the Apostle Paul. And these are attacks on the character, on the authenticity of Paul's apostleship, and on his authority. What's interesting is that I have never read anything among people that claim to be Bible believers about Peter, James, John, or the other writers of the Bible. But there are numerous attacks by religious people on the Apostle Paul. Let me read a couple of them for you. The first one, by an American writer, historian, a philosopher, and a theologian, a man by the name of James Durant. By the way, this man was born in 1885. So this is not something that is necessarily new. This man wrote that Paul, the Apostle Paul, created a theology of which none but the vaguest warrants can be found in the words of Christ. Through these interpretations, Paul could neglect the actual life and sayings of Jesus, which he had not directly known. Paul replaced conduct with creed as the test of virtue. It was a tragic change. The famous Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, where possible, Paul avoids quoting the teachings of Jesus. In fact, even mentioning it. If we had to rely on Paul, we should not know that Jesus taught in the parables what he delivered in the Sermon on the Mount and taught his followers of our Father. Even where they are especially relevant, Paul passes over the words of Jesus. Another man who was a German theologian and a New Testament theologian in a popular university says, it is most obvious that Paul does not appeal to the words of the Lord in support of his views. When the essentially Pauline conceptions are considered, it is clear that Paul is not dependent on Jesus. Jesus' teaching, to all intents and purposes, were irrelevant to the Apostle Paul. And I've got three pages of them here. I won't take time to read a lot of them. But I just wanted you to see some of the attitudes toward the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, we visited the home of Thomas Jefferson there in Monticello. Thomas Jefferson, a very brilliant man, and a man who, by the way, was responsible for the separation of church and state. That was one of the main goals that he had, and yet he was a deist. That is, he did not really believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And Thomas Jefferson himself said, Paul was the first corrupter of the doctrines of Jesus. A corrupter, if you will. Robert Frost, an American poet. Paul, he's in the Bible too. He's the fella who took Christ out of Christianity. Look out for him. I mean, all of these statements made by people that have a disrespect and a denial of the authority of Pauline teaching. Now, why is that? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, because the Apostle Paul is the only preacher in the Bible, the only writer in the Bible, that declares salvation by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. Therefore, anybody, listen folks, anybody that wants to add works to salvation has to go outside of Paul's epistles to do so. So if you acknowledge that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, as he said he was in Romans chapter 15, look there, we'll read in a moment. If you acknowledge that, then you're going to have to acknowledge that the Apostle Paul's writings, as these people said, are separate and distinct from Jesus Christ, and we do that, but at the same time, we also believe that what Paul said about receiving his revelation directly from the Lord Jesus Christ is accurate and true. Why? Because it's written in the Bible. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 16, Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, what's interesting in Romans chapter 15 is that Paul not only addresses what his ministry is, he also addresses what the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was. He says there in Romans 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now I want you to think about this. People say, okay, there's another example of Paul pushing Christ aside and ignoring his ministry. No, it's not. Paul is simply stating that Jesus Christ had a separate and distinct ministry even from that which he had as the apostle of the Gentiles. He said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. I want you to hold on here and go back to Matthew chapter 15. Because people that make statements that say Paul is operating independent of the Lord Jesus Christ simply do not believe what Jesus Christ himself said. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 24, Matthew 15, 24, the Lord Jesus Christ has had a confrontation here with a woman of Canaan about her daughter being healed. And I'm not going to take time to go into all that because I hope you're familiar with it. But I just want you to notice a simple statement that Christ himself made. Listen, folks, people put all the emphasis on the letters in red. Well, here's some red letters for you. In Matthew 15, 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whoa. Now wait a minute. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, folks. That's not Paul speaking about Christ. And Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, isn't that what Paul said in Romans 15? Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Who were the circumcision? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul is not in any way contradicting what Christ taught. Paul is reaffirming what Christ taught about his earthly ministry, and that is that it was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that is not you and I. Paul said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Why? Because that's what Christ said that he was. And then Paul says, but I am the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Why do we follow Paul? Because we're Gentiles. Why would we follow Paul? Because I'm not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not a part of Israel. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a circumcised Jew that is following after the minister of the Jews. I'm a Gentile. And I have an apostle. And that apostle is the apostle Paul. And that's what Paul was trying to reiterate to those at Corinth. Just because... look over in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15... after he gives the gospel there in the first four verses that we read a moment ago, he says in verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, that'd be Peter, then of the 12. Well, then there must have been 12 after Judas committed suicide. There was. Matthias replaced him, not Paul. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are falling asleep. In other words, most of that 500 he appeared to were still alive at the time Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Well, when did Paul see him? Paul saw him in heaven in Acts chapter 9. Brighter than the noonday sun. And the Lord spoke unto him. And he said, Paul, I'm going to make you a minister of the Gentiles, and I want you to take these things whereunto I've appeared unto thee, and the things I will appear unto thee, and I want you to preach these things, that you might open their eyes, turn them from light, from darkness unto light, that they might have inheritance among the saints, and so forth. Paul was given specific instructions by the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was not given those instructions while Christ was on earth. The Apostle Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts chapter 20, he said his ministry was testify the gospel of the grace of God. Well, Jesus Christ never said a word about the gospel of the grace of God. He said in Matthew 4, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 9, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 24, he said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Why can't folks just accept what the words say? Listen, folks, we're not putting too much emphasis on Paul, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We're obeying what the Word of God says. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. Don't let anybody try to persuade you or to convince you that somehow Paul overstepped his authority and his bounds and so forth, and somehow tried to push Jesus Christ out of Christianity. You know, the amazing things about all of these statements that are made is they're made in order to attack the Apostle Paul, and yet they acknowledge a truth that is fundamental to everything we, rightly divided the word of truth, believe. And that is that Paul's message was separate and distinct. As a matter of fact, in some ways, you have more respect for these people that made these statements about Paul than you do people today that simply say, oh, there's no difference in what Paul teaches and what the others taught. At least they see and acknowledge a difference. They just don't put it in the proper context of Paul being the apostle of the Gentiles and being given the gospel of the grace of God and laying the foundation for the church, the body of Christ. Paul said, one waters another. He said, I planted and polished water, but God gave the increase. And he says, the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You see, the Apostle Paul, as the apostle to the Gentiles, had every right and every reason to admonish the Corinthians, to warn them to be followers of me. Look back there in 1 Corinthians 4 again. In 1 Corinthians 4. He says there in verse 14, I write not these things to shame you. You see, Paul is not trying to hurt them anyway. But as my beloved sons, I warn you. This is not just an admonition, this is a warning. What is the warning? For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, I always like to point this out because I know that most of you have an understanding of this, but these messages go out to other people. And you never know who's listening. And so I always try to emphasize the fact that though we follow the Apostle Paul, we understand he is apostle of the Gentiles. We understand that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, and he preached the grace of God, and it was separate and distinct from anything that came before. That the Apostle Paul also made it very clear that the doctrine he was teaching in no way, shape, form, or fashion relieved people of the responsibility that they had of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing Christ to live His life through them. And yet that is a common misconception among people. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And his response was, God forbid. You see, there's a lot of people that want to just follow Paul in the doctrine about the one baptism, one Lord, one faith, all the ones there in Ephesians chapter 4. But they don't want to acknowledge and understand that the Apostle Paul himself, he said, I bring my body under subjection. He said that we're to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Paul was an example of the believers. And he wrote to Timothy and he said, be thou an example of the believers in word and in deed and in conversation. You see, it's one thing to follow the doctrine of Paul as well we should, but the example of Paul Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, the one who desired to live as though he were already resurrected from the dead. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Paul, who said that we have been raised to walk in newness of life. We were talking about this morning the balance in Paul's epistles during the Sunday school hour about how he always shows us all that we have in Christ and salvation by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. But then he always shows us also the side as such as Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You see, that was the problem with the Corinthians. They understood salvation by grace. Go back to chapter 1. They were saved by the grace of God. But they were not walking worthy of that which they were in Christ. And so, what did they do? They began to discount their apostle. Why? Because Paul wrote them two letters. And he, in the first letter, he really admonished them about some things that were going on. He said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." And then he wrote over there about them hearing the gospel. But when he wrote to the in chapter 1, he says there in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren," there's that word again, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and to be no divisions among you, but that you be joint, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And he goes on to talk about the divisions that are there. And then over in chapter 3, he said, "I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." You see, Paul's desire was not just that people be saved. Do you remember what he told Timothy? He said, "It is God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." What was the purpose of coming to the knowledge of the truth? What is the purpose in us studying our Bible? What is the purpose in us being established in the truth? Is it so we can just say we know more than other people and that kind of thing? No, there is a reason for us to rightly divide the word of truth. There is a reason for us to understand Paul is our apostle. Why? Because the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is so different than that kingdom doctrine. The motivation is different. The love of Christ constraineth us. And so as we function, as we study the Word of God, there is a specific purpose. And I don't believe I know I read the same verses over and over many times, but there's not a better verse in the Bible to demonstrate the purpose of God's Word and God's will than Colossians 1:9. Where Paul said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," that is, of their faith, "do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Think about this. Here's the same man that wrote to Timothy, said it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now there's a lot of other things surrounding God's will, obviously. But you know, those two things will really cover everything else like a blanket. Salvation, and then come to the knowledge of His will. Why? He said to those at Colossae that you might be saved. He said, "I'm thankful that you're saved. And it's my prayer, we don't cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." But he didn't stop there. You see, we find out here what he's talking about over there to Timothy when he said it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of His will. Come to the knowledge of the truth. What is it? Verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see, folks, you can't get that watching TV. You can't get that reading magazines. You can get all kind of philosophy and all kind of ideas about God, but you want to know the mind of God, you're going to have to get that out of the Word of God. God's Word, God's will, is for the purpose that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And you know something, folks? Those things are ever much as important as following Paul in any other doctrine that you might find in the Bible. Be ye followers of me. The Corinthians, they accepted the salvation message. They trusted Christ as their Savior. But then they began to be carnal and walk as men. And even over in chapter 5, he said there's fornication among you. There's all kind of problems in the Corinth church, because they were not operating on the basis of who they were in Christ. They were still walking after that old man. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen, you need to walk like who you are. You need to walk like a child of God, like a saint of the Most High God in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, folks, we are very fortunate to know and understand the truth of Paul, our apostle, the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. But understanding all of that brings with it a responsibility. And it has to do with standing for and standing on the truth of the Word of God. Paul, in his last letter here to Timothy, he said in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." As I visited with Brother Russell there 10 days ago on Wednesday before we left for Pennsylvania, he was in pain. And he had some type of skin disorder that had come about by laying in bed. And he said he itched so bad that he just was miserable. And we began to talk about, he began to ask why we have to suffer so much. And I said, it's because the whole creation groans and travaileth to pain together until now. And I said that, Brother Russell, there's one thing you can be assured of. You fought a good fight. You've almost finished your course. And you kept the faith. And a big smile came across his face. And he didn't really respond to that, but he just smiled. And you could tell that the words from the Word of God brought comfort. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to Timothy, he's there in prison, and he said, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also love is appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Now notice, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Paul was indeed at the end of his life, and yet not many people were there. Not many people remained. As a matter of fact, he said, "Demas hath forsaken me." You know, I believe today, folks, you can look at the Apostle Paul as the forsaken apostle. The apostle who God chose to give the message of grace, the message of rightly dividing the Word to, and yet people have forsaken him and turned and said, "We'll follow the footsteps of Jesus. We'll follow the red letters. We'll follow the teachings of Christ before we'll follow Paul." Paul, the forsaken apostle. And yet, you know what? I want you to look down in verse 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge." You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed there on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen prayed for the people that were stoning him to death. And Paul, who is fixing to be put to death, says, I pray God it not be laid to their charge. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He wrote that after he wrote about being angry and having wrath and malice and clamor and evil speaking. And he said to forgive one another. You see, when you do that, you're following the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're also following the pattern set by the Apostle Paul, who had every right to be bitter, angry, and distraught. And yet he said, I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And he says over there in verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. May he be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, folks, when Paul says there to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, he's not trying to gather some kind of following in the sense of being elevated in the flesh. He's simply admonishing them to take the doctrine that's been delivered and stand upon the truths of that doctrine. Why? So that they might be pleasing unto the Lord. Not to benefit him. He wasn't trying to get them to do that for his own sake. He said, I, beloved, I warn you. I don't write this to shame you. He wasn't about trying to hurt people or shame people. He said, I warn you. Take heed to the warning, folks. There is a cause. There is a reason. And there is instruction about Paul, our apostle. Don't ever be ashamed. Paul told to Timothy, he said, Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't ever be ashamed of standing for the doctrine and the truth delivered through the apostle Paul. The apostle Paul, we didn't give him the position. God did. We simply acknowledge it, and we follow it, because that's the instruction that we have, not from Paul, but from God Almighty, written down by the Apostle Paul. But always remember, these are not Paul's instructions. These are not Paul's beseechings. These are the beseechings of God Almighty Himself for His children, and we're to obey them and to follow them for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?